Have you all noticed a theme today? Prayer. We are on week four. Can you believe it? Week four of our wrestling with doubt and finding faith. Week four of, if you are not getting our daily emails, of our Grow Pray study guides, of which there are some copies out in the narthex you could pick up on your way out, our daily study of our scripture and a prayer. Week four of leaning into this mystery of wrestling with doubt and finding faith. Can you believe it? Now, this week, our theme is, why do some prayers go unanswered? So this morning, I'm going to read the scripture that we have as part of our study, and then I'm going to talk about prayer, talk about why we pray, or what we pray, and then talk about why do some prayers go unanswered. So I want to invite you to hear these words from our scriptures. This is Psalm 22. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Or Jesus' words to his disciples in John 15. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it will be done. Or Jesus' words to God the Father. Father, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not my will, but yours. Luke 22, verse 42. So, prayer, it can be deeply personal. It can be particularly trivial if we're looking for a parking space. Or our car keys, maybe that's just me. One of my friends who's Catholic, when they are in need of things, they pray for the prayer of St. Anthony. Tony, Tony, look around. Something's lost. It must be found. I might have that in my pocket for lots of reasons, including my own ability to lose things quite easily. But prayer sometimes, to me, it seems like we are in a place of always asking God for things, right? And certainly that is one type of prayer. Christian tradition has said that there are different types of prayer, most notably praise and adoration, confession and penance, intercession or deliverance, and thanksgiving, as well as supplication. But one of the things that I've noticed is that, at least for me, sometimes it feels like my prayers are more like a Christmas wish. So we're going to play a game, and that game is this. Is it Santa or is it God? Now, before you go Googling, I want you to know that there is actually a board game produced by our siblings in the Evangelical Church that is quite literally titled Santa or Jesus, and its end goal is to convert people. That is not my goal today, right? But we're just gonna play this game. Okay. He knows when you're sleeping. We heard that in our psalm today. He knows when you're awake. Santa or God? He makes a list and checks it twice. Santa or God? To find out if you're naughty or nice. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Santa or God? You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. Santa or God. All of these are the lyrics from Santa Claus is Coming to Town. It helps me understand why we now have a series of horror movies about Krampus and why Santa Claus sometimes is portrayed as an evil character, because those are kind of scary lyrics, right? Yeah. But those are not necessarily lyrics that we don't, in our formations, ascribe to God either, right? We heard from the psalmist today in our opening prayer, "He who watches over you, Israel, shall neither slumber nor sleep," right? We know that God is good, amen? And we pray every morning in our Lord's Prayer, "Deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation," because we too are trying to be good people, right? So sometimes I worry as a pastor that our prayer lives are shallow and we get God and Santa Claus confused and our prayer list is more like a Christmas wish list, right? All full of supplication. All full of, "Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches, I must make amends. I work hard all this life." Prayers of asking for car spaces and groceries and Mercedes and things and more things and blessings upon blessings for us, right? I mean, think about it. Even with the mythology of Santa, we leave an offering of cookies and milk, right? But see, God calls us into deeper relationship. And for me, at least, prayer is a very important part of our faith relationship. Amen? Prayer is that constant conversation with God. Prayer is that wrestling and working out our faith. Prayer is that sometimes being so mad at God that you are cussing God. Anybody? Just me? Why, God? Why? We hear it in the psalmist. "How long, O Lord, will you turn your face from me? How long will you ignore my cries of deliverance?" You see, the Psalms are made up of prayers and songs to God, this conversation, and they are in three patterns: Psalms of disorientation and lament, right? Psalms of orientation to God, those prayers of adoration and thanksgiving. "Praise to the Lord, the God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth." And psalms of reorientation, of reorienting our lives after deliverance back to God. "Thank you, God, you brought me forth from the pit. You delivered me from my enemies. You did not let my feet touch a stone. Oh, Lord, there is nowhere you are not." All prayers, all conversation with God, prayers of praise and adoration, prayers of supplication, prayers of confession and penitence, "Lord, please forgive me." Sometimes I'm an idiot and make mistakes. Amen. Sometimes I act a fool. Sometimes I make promises I can't deliver on and say things I don't really mean. "Lord, I believe. help my unbelief. And then we have prayers of intercession and deliverance, and you can see this all through the Psalms. You know, David was pursued by Saul through the desert and hiding in the hill country. Prayers of deliverance, like we saw Jesus pray in our scripture reading this morning. Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass from my hands. Lord, deliver me from my enemies. Lord, deliver me from this disease. Lord, deliver, 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 intercede, make a way where there seems to be no way. Have you all prayed those prayers before? I know I have. I know that when I pray audaciously and boldly for miracles, I'm trusting that God will move. When I pray for healing and deliverance, I know that God's healing may not look like healing to me. I know that our God, no matter what, is a God who brings life out of death. A God who redeems all things and works them for good. And that allows me to give thanks to God. Thanks to God for all the ways that God moves, especially the ways I cannot see. Especially those small, tiny moments where God is moving in the mundane and the minuscule, in the details. And so for me, these types of prayer is this conversation, this constant talking. I mean, I'm sure God totally gets fed up with me, and it's just like, Evelyn, it's time, just quiet, right? And that's a whole other type of prayer, of silence and solitude and listening, amen? Because conversations are not just one-sided. Conversations are dialogues. And sometimes, I don't know about you all, but I get really stuck in the having a conversation with God and telling God my mind that I forget to sit still and allow God the opportunity to show me God's mind. And I'm an extrovert, so I'm just going to own that and own that that's probably why I tend to do a lot of the talking in my relationship with God. And that's okay. Because one of the other things that I believe about prayer is that it helps us become aware and engaged and name things. And there is power in naming things. Think about it. Have you ever been sick and the doctors couldn't figure out why? And finally, when you had that diagnosis, you were like, all the dots are connected. I know that's the way it was for me when I got my fibromyalgia diagnosis. I had thought it was just all in my head. All this pain that I was feeling, all of these weird sensations I was having, and I've had for over a decade. You mean to tell me that's just not how people live in pain all the time? When I got that diagnosis, it was like, the light switched on. It wasn't in my head. It was real. And now I could do something about it. There is power in naming things. There is power in being aware of things, because you know why? Not only do we have the opportunity to take to do something about it, we also have the opportunity to lift it up and let it go. What about those things that grieve us or bring us sorrow? When we name them, we can give them to God. Amen. We can, and this is really hard for me, I'm sure I'm not the only one, we can surrender the outcomes. Amen. So when we pray, we tend to ask God for things, we confess things, we ask for deliverance and intercession, we praise and adore God, we are praising God all the time, right? Giving thanks to God for the movement and dance of God in our lives. We are in this conversation of letting God know what's on our hearts and allowing God the space to speak into our hearts. So why does it feel like there are unanswered prayers? Why does that refrain of Garth Brooks' song ring so true? Sometimes the greatest gift from God is an unanswered prayer. Is it because our prayers are shallow and selfish? Is it because we don't really have a clue about the big picture? Is it because we are human and finite and fragile? I've heard it said that God answers all prayers with a yes, a no, or a not yet. And I don't know if you've ever heard the voice of God tell you no, or had that conviction of the Holy Spirit of yes, right? Or had that feeling, that indescribable, ineffable feeling of almost, but not yet. God's timing is not our timing. Amen? And I think God probably answers more prayers than we realize. I just think we're, at least I can only speak to me, I am listening for the answers I want. I'm looking for the answers that affirm everything I believe and all my values, right? And I'm not necessarily looking for answers that disagree with me or don't go along with my plan. I think it's beautiful, right, that Jesus prays two prayers in Scripture that go unanswered. The first is in John, and it's, Lord, we talked about this last week. Lord, let your disciples be one as you and I are one. But with all the different denominations in the world and all the different thoughts and all the different sects of Christianity in the world, perhaps we are not quite one yet. And then the prayer that we read today is part of our scripture. Lord, let this cup of suffering pass from my hands. But not your will, not my will, but yours be done. You see, one of the things I think is that we don't get out of life without suffering. And we're going to talk more about this next week in our final week about why do innocent people suffer. And I believe that God doesn't cause suffering. I believe that God is not the author of evil, not the author of war, not the author of violence. But I do believe that God walks with us through all of these things and redeems everything. So I wonder if our prayers are answered and we just can't see it. If our prayers are answered, but not in a way that is our will or our plan, but God's. I'm curious about the fact that maybe, just maybe, we are the ones to be the answer to our prayers and other people's prayers. You know, I think the whole idea of sending out our thoughts and prayers is a relatively 21st century notion, thanks to social media. But did you know that the Christian tradition, the two millennia now of Christianity, the tradition is not to send thoughts and prayers. It is to pray and get to work. Ora et labora. Been around for 1,000 years now, thanks to Saint Benedict, to pray and get to work, to partner with God, to pray what's on our hearts and then get to work tending to it. To find those ways that we can be God's hands and feet and heart in this world. Amen. And as heirs of Wesley, that is our history too. Wesley just didn't pray for peace in England or conversion or for there to be economic ease or for the poor to be lifted up or for the prisoners to be freed. Wesley and the people of Wesley worked tirelessly to bring food to the hungry, to visit the sick and imprisoned, to offer healing and hope, to build schools and offer sanctuary for people who needed it, widows and orphans. This is our legacy as heirs of Wesley, putting our faith into action, putting our prayers to work, co-partnering with God. And the thing about that early British Methodist movement that is so beautiful and I think miraculous is that scholars believe that Wesley and the followers, the people of the Methodist movement, were the main reason why England did not have a revolution like France. Did you realize that? God's people at work in the world. And I believe that our prayers never go against free will. We are people who believe in free will. We believe that God is always inviting us, but it is never mandatory. Amen. It is a free gift to be in relationship with God and with each other. And so if we pray things that go against people's free will, perhaps God is going to let those prayers go unanswered. Because God would never violate our free will. And I believe that no matter our prayers, God will always work things for good. Always. It may take a while. It may, in the midst of our suffering and the mud and the mire of our humanity, feel like it is taking forever. But I believe God always works things for good. We see that in the resurrection of Christ. Amen. Love conquers the grave. And next week, when we talk about suffering, we'll talk a little bit about sin and about the collateral damage that comes from it, about how our disconnectedness has a ripple effect. And so this week, I want to invite you into a lifestyle of prayer. I want to invite you into praying every day. There is a five-fingered prayer that I'll email out to everybody this week that is helpful. You pray for the four fingers and the thumb, because if we're going to get scientific, we're going to get scientific. The four fingers and your thumb. On your thumb, you pray for those you love. On your index finger, you pray for those who are leaders On your middle finger, you pray for those who need help. On your fourth finger, you pray for those who are in your community. And on your fifth finger, you pray for the healing of this world. I would invite you to also give thanks to God. You can do that same five-finger prayer with the prayers of adoration, a prayer of supplication, a prayer of confession and penance, a prayer of intercession and deliverance, and a prayer of thanksgiving. But I'll email that out to everyone. I want to invite you now to pray with me. Holy God, we love you. We thank you for gathering us in the midst of our lives, however messy and muddy and miry they may be. We thank you that you are standing with us. And Lord, my heart is broken for all of your people around this world who are suffering, who are in pain, who find themselves in the midst of violence and war. Lord, we do know that you are a God who works all things for good. So work even these and all of these for good. And help us to be your hands and feet and heart. In Christ's name we pray. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Amen.